Welcome to lesson number 42 in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 44, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 44, verse 1, "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack." Now, if all Joseph wanted to do was be nice to his brothers, then he could have said, keep your money, the grain is on me. Instead, he secretly had their money put back into their grain sacks. Joseph will use this to test them. Verse 2, "Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money." So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Joseph is planting evidence in Benjamin's bag. Now, he's not going to hurt Benjamin, but he wants the brothers to think that Benjamin is in big trouble. He wants to see their reaction. If they stand by their little brother, then Joseph knows the brothers have changed. 3. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And the brothers are probably thinking, so far, so good. They have grain. Simeon is out of prison. Benjamin is returning with them. Life is pretty good. But the story does not end at verse 3. Verse 4. "When they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing." The Egyptians believed that spirits knew the future. They believed that when you poured liquid into certain cups, that those spirits would arrange the bubbles into sort of an occult code. They believed that certain people with the special gift could decipher the code and discover secret things. That type of divination, fortune-telling, crystal ball, Ouija board, psychic, tarot card stuff, is forbidden by God. Joseph did not practice those things. This is a part of his act. Verse 6. "So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing." They can't believe their ears. Just when things are looking up, they are falsely accused of stealing. Verse 8. "Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house?" In other words, we just cleared up that last mess over money. So why would we create another problem just like it? 9. "With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves." They are confident when they should not be confident. They are so confident that they make all sorts of rash promises. Verse 10. "And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." In other words, we don't operate that way in Egypt. You say, you will all be slaves if I find the cup? No. The one who took it will be the slave, and the rest of you will go free. 11. "Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack." They were so confident that they quickly opened their sacks. Verse 12. "So he searched. He began with the oldest, and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. After nothing was found in the first 10 sacks, the brothers must have thought, well, we are in the clear. You know, one of us may have been foolish enough to steal that cup, but not Benjamin. And so what a shocker. It was in Benjamin's sack. 13. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. The 10 sons of Jacob could have said, goodbye, Benjamin. We're going home. But they didn't. They are standing by their little brother. They are supporting him. That's a good sign. 14. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Joseph could have been an actor. He is testing his 10 older brothers to see if they are quick to point the finger at their little brother Benjamin. And this is a real test too, because although they have done many bad things, stealing that cup isn't one of them. And they could easily say, we didn't do it. He did. Let us go. Verse 16. Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. They couldn't suppress the guilt they felt for selling their brother Joseph anymore. For 20 years, they thought that guilt would go away, but it did not. You know, it could be for that 20 years, each time something bad happened, they thought it was God repaying them for their sin of selling Joseph into slavery. They certainly felt that way about the trouble they were experiencing here. 17, but he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father. Well, let's see if Joseph, or if they take Joseph up on his offer. Verse 18. Then Judah came near to him and said, O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. Judah guaranteed his father that he would bring Benjamin back. Nothing will happen to him, Judah said. Well, bad is happening to him. So Judah steps forward and pleads with the ruler. Verse 19. My Lord asked his servants, saying, have you a father or a brother? Judah reminds the ruler of what happened the first time the brothers came down to Egypt to buy grain. Joseph asked them if they had a father or any other brothers. 20. And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Judah is talking to Joseph, and he is telling him that Joseph is dead. Judah is talking, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. Verse 21. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. Benjamin is in trouble. But Judah reminds this ruler that the only reason Benjamin is there at all is because he insisted that he be brought down there. Look at verse 22. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. The brothers did not think that there would be any way that their father would let them take Benjamin down to Egypt. He'd probably die from worry. And they told this. They told this ruler that that would probably be the case, that they wouldn't be able to bring Benjamin down there. Verse 23. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. And it did not matter what these sons of Jacob said. If they don't bring Benjamin, then they don't get food anymore. They just don't. They don't even bother coming. It would be hard on their father, but Joseph had to see his little brother for himself. His brothers had always been liars, you know. And as far as Joseph knew, they were lying about his little brother being okay. He had to know if Benjamin was okay. 24, so it was, when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. In other words, we told our father that you demanded to see Benjamin. 25, and our father said, go back and buy us a little food. After a while, when the food ran out, Jacob told them to go back to Egypt to buy some more grain. In verse 26, but we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Jacob wanted to believe what was comfortable, not what was true. He needed to be reminded and brought back to reality. Listen, we're not going, because it doesn't pay unless we take Benjamin along with us. 27. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And Jacob refers to Rachel as his wife. Rachel is the only one he ever loved. She is the only one that he ever vowed to marry. Verse 28. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. Jacob hasn't seen his son Joseph since the day he sent him out to check on his 10 brothers. It's been about 22 years. Jacob is absolutely convinced that Joseph is dead. 29. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Judah is trying to get this ruler to see that if he detains Benjamin, then the one who will actually suffer the most is his father. 30. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen, when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. The ruler had told them that only the guilty one, only Benjamin, would have to stay and be punished. Judah's point is no. Because his father loves him so much, he will pay also. He will suffer more than anyone. 32. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Joseph had told the 10 brothers that they could go free, but Judah for sure could never be free. His father will hold him responsible for the loss of Benjamin for the rest of his life. 33. Now therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. Jacob loved his son Benjamin, so Judah really steps up to the plate here and says, punish me in place of my little brother. Do it. That way my father can enjoy his youngest son. Verse 34. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. Judah would rather suffer as a slave in Egypt in place of his brother Benjamin than see his father hurt. And that is what Joseph was waiting to hear. It took a long time and a lot of pain, but God has scraped the rebellion out of the souls of these 10 sons of Jacob. They now care more about their father and Benjamin than they do about themselves. Joseph is ready to reveal himself to them, and he will do that next time in chapter 45. Until then, so long, everyone.